The accord. Now, while the United States' response to the EU draft proposal is still under examination in Tehran, here, Sergei Lavrov says Russia will accept nothing less than Tehran's full rights under the agreement. Yusuf Jalali, Moscow.
On the 30th of August last year, the last of the U.S. troops hastily left Kabul International Airport, marking the end of a two-decade occupation of Afghanistan. On its anniversary, the people of Afghanistan are celebrating this occasion. They say being independent and free from any occupation is a great blessing for the nation.
This is a victorious day for Afghans. 1 year ago, the U.S. occupying forces were forced to leave Afghanistan. Of course, they were defeated against the will of our people. We are proud that another invasion failed in our country.
Most Afghan people believe the U.S. invasion brought them nothing but more conflict, poverty, destruction, and suffering. They say today it is Afghans who are in charge of their own country and that they should work to build their homeland.
In the past 20 years, we didn't witness anything except bombardments, destruction, and civilian casualties. People across the country were busy burying their loved ones every day.
We have gathered here to mark Afghanistan's independence from the U.S. occupation. Last year, on this day, the U.S. withdrew from our country. We are happy that the U.S. is no more present here. But unfortunately, our country is reeling from economic problems. I hope the new rules of Afghanistan provide job opportunities and protect the rights of all Afghans.
Participants also called on the U.S. to learn from its past mistakes and stop the ongoing ill policies towards Afghanistan and its people. 1 year on, Afghans are celebrating the U.S. withdrawal from their country. People here say they are happy that the U.S. invasion was ended because they were exhausted by Americans' gross violations. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
England's healthcare service workers receiving national praise for staying in the job through the grueling days of the pandemic to save lives. An increasing number of them, doctors, nurses, and midwives, have either quit the service or are actively considering to do so.
Profits have risen by 35% in the UK since the pandemic. More money to the rich, but not to those that are sick or for people that care for them.
The most recent culprit, poor pay. Rejecting a 4% pay increase in the face of soaring inflation, they're set to vote for industrial action.
Even with all those budgeting, we are still struggling. And so what would help in the NHS really was to increase our salary like everybody else is getting bonuses. We are not. Why? Why is this? And if you're not going to increase our salary, at least do something about transportation or even the parking. We can't be paying for things like this. It's ridiculous.
There are other reasons, too, for the exodus. A recent survey by union-led With NHS Staff campaign found stress, burnout, a feeling of abandonment after the pandemic. Some are having to use food banks or sleep inside hospitals. And it doesn't stop there.
There were other abuses of staff which made themselves clear, which also manifested. And actually, a large part of the nursing workforce who want to learn also cite discrimination. And there's a large amount of bullying, harassment, intimidation, discrimination that goes hand in hand with not every environment within the NHS, but within certain environments.
More people leaving the NHS means more work to be done by those who stay while they wait for the tens of thousands of vacancies across the country to be filled. A negative spiral hard to overcome in addition to the cost of living crisis. And then there's the years of underfunding and a wholesale drive to privatization, regardless of which party is in power.
The plan to privatize the NHS is not piecemeal, it's wholesale. I'm afraid Labour and Tory are like this. There isn't a fundamental difference in their attitude. We're already facing a winter bed crisis now. It's August, okay? And it's only going to get worse through the winter. So there is an under-provision in order to force people who can't get adequate care from the NHS into the private sector.
Created after World War II by a Labour government, the NHS is a publicly funded healthcare system, free at the point of need. Decades later, though, it's facing acute staff shortages, underfunding, and rapid privatization, which means that the crown jewel of Britain's public health care provision may soon be no more. Saeed Purizep, London.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss about the problems, questions, and issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Professor Salman Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Professor Salman Naqvi is a faculty member at the Al Mustafa University and also a researcher on the Islamic issues in the Hawza Ilmi Afkum. So we have been talking about the domains of behavior and the types of relationships. In the previous episodes, we have been talking about the relationship with environment. And you said that when we are talking about the relationship with environment, apart from teaching our children to take care of the environment, we also need to teach them basically how to explore in the universe. And you said that the concept goes beyond science. There is philosophical reasoning that needs to be taught. So how do we inculcate philosophical reasoning in our children?
Yes, exactly. This is a very important thing. We must take guidance from the Holy Quran. As I mentioned, the Holy Verse, that Allah Almighty wants to tell us that everything that you see, what I have created,
I created it for you. It's at your disposal.
I created it for you. It's for your well-being. You have to discover it, you have to harness it, and employ it and utilize it for the betterment of mankind.
Yeah.
Under the umbrella of wilaya.
True.
The Quran says, I want you to discover, when it talks about tadabbur.
Afala tadabburun.
Yeah. In the Quran, it's talking about understanding the signs of
contemplating.
Allah. Contemplating, trying to understand, to discover.
Yeah.
It's philosophical and scientific research going together.
Yes.
I mean, a scientist will look for the cause. The philosopher will say, you're looking for a cause. Why are you looking for a cause?
Yeah.
There's something very foundational beyond that, that cannot be proven by experimentation. So those foundational issues have to be understood. For example, when you say, is it possible for this room to be dark and lit together? It's either dark,
or it's lightened up.
Or it's lightened up.
Yeah.
It can't be together, both of. This is something which we take for granted.
Yeah.
But there's a philosophical understanding of that.
Yeah.
If that philosophical understanding, of course, I'm not talking about the terminology that is employed in philosophy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the concepts, the foundational concepts that have to be taught to the child. We ourselves have to understand, because, look, many of our discussions and disputes go into polemical debates.
Yeah.
Because we do not accept many foundational things. We have to understand and accept those foundational concepts and propositions to be able to build upon those are arguments and our reasoning.
Yeah.
The child must understand those foundational issues. So he does not, his thinking and his reasoning does not contradict with that.
Okay.
Contradiction itself is a philosophical and a logical issue.
Okay.
What is contradiction?
Yeah.
Two things of an opposite nature cannot exist together, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, this table which in front of us, it cannot be both green and both red.
Yes.
It's either green or it is either
or
red.
Or it's red. Yeah. So that contradictory nature also.
That's contrasting, but we have contradiction.
So that way we are even teaching
about. I mean, these foundational issues have to be inculcated in our. When we talk about things, when we discuss issues, we discuss, we debate, we should be employing proper reasoning.
Yeah. And that's actually something that may also help our children to come out of hypocrisy, not develop a hypocritic nature. I'll be talking more on that with you after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about how do we teach our children the philosophical reasoning. Professor Nakavi, you told us a very important point over here that either a room is bright or it's dark. Two things cannot happen at the same time. And something like that is also explained in Surah Ahzab, which the verse says that, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, I have provided you with one heart, because one heart contains one rule. Your heart can be either Husseini or it can be Yazidi. It cannot be a Husseini and a Yazidi heart at the same time. Yes.
Exactly, a very good example you have given. Actually, the essence of that philosophical reasoning can be understood in the martyrdom of Imam Hussein also.
True.
And the sacrifices given by the Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah.
It was for the sake of the love of Allah Almighty. They gave that sacrifice.
Yeah.
But love of Allah Almighty cannot be separated and divorced from the intellectual level of understanding that goes beneath it.
Okay.
The roots of our understanding of Islam and the purpose and the mission of Islam is intellectual. For example, when we talk about the sacrifice of Imam Hussein, we want to give a picture that Imam Hussein did it just for the sake of love. It was love. No, beyond that love and beneath that love,
exists
that
the intellectual level.
You
logic.
Cannot divorce the intellectual level from the emotional and the spiritual levels.
Okay.
So, when we talk about our relationships with Allah Almighty, when we talk about wilaya, when we talk about all our relationships, when we talk about love, compassion, when we talk about emotions and feelings. But the underlying thought process cannot be overlooked.
All right.
And that is, we have to bring about a marriage. We have to make our child understand, look, this love and this sacrifice that Imam Hussein had was based on sound reasoning.
Yeah.
It was based on sound reasoning. And every sound reasoning has a strong foundational basis.
Yes.
And the natural laws of thinking are employed there, applied there.
Yes.
And without that, you cannot build up that rational understanding.
Okay.
Even the scientific understanding of the universe has this underlying layer of philosophical understanding.
Okay.
And foundational reasoning. So this, if we are able to bring about this sort of understanding in the child through our discussions, through our debates, through our readings, through our interaction with ulama, We have to develop that thinking. The problem which we are facing today is that children are thinking of science as God.
All right. Oh,
why do we do this? Can science prove that? Can science do that? No. Science
is limited.
Is limited.
All right. So I will talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we're talking about the concept of philosophical reasoning and how we can inculcate this concept in our children. Professor Naqavi, you told us that when we are, for example, teaching our children the story of Karbala, we don't have to just show our children that this was an emotional story, this was just an emotional relationship of Imam Hussein alayhi salam with God, but there was an underlying process that was the philosophical reasoning.
Yes, exactly. When we talk about Imam Hussein and why he did not accept to pay allegiance to Yazid, he gave a very basic, very intellectual, very reasonable answer, very beautiful answer. مثلي لا يبايع مثله. A person of my caliber, of my competency, of my stature, of my a person who has such attributes as me, knowledge and skills and many other things which are required for being the imam, the worthy leader of the society, cannot pay allegiance and bow down to someone who is not worthy, like Yazid.
Okay.
Not only he does not have the qualities to be a good leader, he has negative traits.
Yeah.
And therefore, that is the intellectual understanding. That is the basis that Imam Hussein is to telling us. Look, go for worthy leadership.
Okay.
That is something very intellectual. All intellectual people, rational people of the world will accept that.
Yeah.
Based on that, we need to have a mission statement. We have to introduce a system of governance which is based upon worthy leadership.
Yeah.
Even if a person who is not worthy has a popular mandate, people vote for him, people go out for him.
So Imam is teaching us.
Imam is telling us popularity is not enough.
Yeah.
Popularity is not enough. You have to have to. Popular support is important when it is for the competent person. Imam Ali, we have to make our children understand, look, Imam Ali was the Imam. He should have been the Khalifa after the Holy Prophet. We believe as Shia Muslims that the person who was worthy of being the successor of the Holy Prophet was Imam Ali because of his worthiness, because he was competent.
And it was even announced.
And it was even announced. The announcement was based on the fact that he was worthy of it.
Worthy, yeah.
I mean, that is the underlying principle that we have to teach our children.
Yeah.
Competency, worthiness.
Yes.
As I said, even we...
So when you're just
when we obey God because he's worthy of it.
Yes.
So we have to make our children understand, look, you go for caliber, competency. You go for the truth.
Exactly.
حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ That we show our signs in the heavens, in the souls, to make you understand that Allah is the absolute truth, because He's worthy.
Worth of that.
And this is what has to be inculcated in our children.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Professor Naqavi, for being with us and providing us such meaningful information regarding the philosophical reasoning that needs to be taught to children. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you want to listen again, you can go back to our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. You can go to the tab Call of Islam, and out there you can search Islamic Upbringing, and you'll find all our episodes over there. Thank you so much for being with us once again. And in case you have any questions, you have any issues, you have anything you want to ask about the Islamic upbringing of your children, you can feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, methods of calling for good and forbidding evil. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the methods of calling for good and forbidding evil in the Islamic lifestyle. We generally know that calling for good and forbidding evil is the part of Islamic lifestyle, and we must perform Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahyan al Munkar, which is calling for good and forbidding evil, in our daily life, and it should be performed perfectly. But there are some methods and conditions. The first method or condition which can be said is that there must be a coordination in speech and behavior. If there is no coordination between the speech and behavior, then we cannot perform the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar. We cannot perform this obligation. What we mean with the coordination in the speech and behavior is that whatever you say, you must perform it before. If you're performing something, if you're practicing something, then we can call others towards that. For example, if a person is not praying 5-time prayers, he cannot ask people or he cannot order others to pray 5 times. And this is one of the issues that mainly we see in the family life, that unfortunately some parents, either the father or mother, they do not pray five-time prayers, but they want their children to pray. They do not know how to read Quran, but they want their children to learn reading Quran or reciting Quran. So when children, they see that there is that their parents do not behave the way they are, what they say, or their life, or they do not practice what they say, the children do not pay attention to such thing. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the methods of the commanding for good and stopping from evil. And in that, we said that there are some parents, for example, they do not practice Islam properly, and then they ask their children to do that. Similarly, there are other people, like if a clergy or if a person who is in the mosque or the one who is coming to deliver a speech, if he is not performing something, he cannot order others. So the first condition and the method is that first you must bring a coordination. You must have a coordination between the speech that you do and the behavior that you have, the practice or the life that you have. If we are not having this coordination, then obviously we are not able. We do not fall under the category of someone who can order others. In the Quran, we have different verses, for example, about Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. Do you order the mankind towards the goodness? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. While you have forgotten this about your own self, وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. And you are also reciting the book. So why you don't perform good in your life? Why don't you practically show what you say? There are other things as well which are said, like, for example, in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter Saf, which is 61, verse number 2 and 3, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, all those who believe, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Why you say something which you do not perform, which you practically do not act? Therefore, the first condition and the first method for performing the ordering the good and stopping from evil is that we must have a coordination between what we practice by ourselves and what we say to the others, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Points of view in meeting with President Raisi and Cabinet Ministers. In the Islamic Republic of Iran, the week which commences on the anniversary of martyrdom of former President Mohammad Ali Rajai and former Prime Minister Mohammad Javad Bahonar has been named as Government Week. Every year, the President and members of his cabinet meet with the leader of the Islamic Revolution during government week. In keeping with this tradition, this year, President Ebrahim Raisi and members of his cabinet, known as the 13th government, met with the leader of the Islamic Revolution at the Husseiniyah of Imam Khomeini, may his soul rest in peace, in central Tehran. Please stay with us for a summary of the leader's speech. At the start of the meeting, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, praised the two martyrs, Muhammad Ali Rajai and Muhammad Javad Bahonar, saying, "We honour the memory of these two martyrs. Undoubtedly, Muhammad Ali Rajai and Muhammad Javad Bahonar were two first-class managers of the highest calibre, worthy of the Islamic Revolution. We had known these two for many years, and we had worked with them for many years, particularly Martyr Bahonar, whom we knew very well. The Lord Most High granted them their reward in the form of martyrdom. It would have been a real pity if these two individuals had died without becoming a martyr. We pay homage to them and honour their memory." Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei went on to state the importance of remembering and recording the key events of the Islamic Revolution, as well as analysing the performance of the government during government week. He stressed, "Remembrance is the opposite of neglect. Remembrance is the opposite of oblivion. Neglecting and forgetting are great scourges. We must be aware of our current position. The skies over Tehran were once dominated by Saddam's air force, and we had no way of challenging them. The Baathist pilots boarded their fighter jets and flew over Tehran without any worries at all. There was nothing that we could do. They either bombarded Tehran or broke the sound barrier over our skies, and we couldn't stop them. That was the situation of our skies. Our land was very insecure. There was widespread insecurity throughout the country. Terrorists ran rampage in our streets, killing military and IRGC personnel, terrorizing shop owners, merchants, and ordinary citizens. We mustn't forget those days. That is now history, of course, and the Iranian nation and the Islamic Republic got through those difficult times with flying colors, emerging fully dignified and victorious." The leader added, "But the real wonder of those years was the incredible presence of the Iranian people on the scene, always offering their unfailing support. Whenever the government needed support of the people, they gathered in huge numbers and offered their full backing spontaneously, without even being asked to do so. This reality taught us valuable lessons, taught us how we should treat this honourable and great nation." A preliminary assessment of the performance of the 13th government during the past year shows us that this government has been planning for the long term, such as in relation with targeted government subsidies. Also, the government has strenuously tried, in a jihadi manner, to solve the problems faced by ordinary people. This effort becomes especially noteworthy when you consider that the enemies of the Islamic Republic have snapped the toughest of sanctions on Iran, and using satellite broadcasts and media campaigning have tried to spread dissatisfaction among the people. The leader went on to list a number of successes for the 13th government, headed by President Ebrahim Raisi. The leader said, In my opinion, the biggest success that this government has achieved is revival of hope and trust in ordinary people. This is your most significant achievement. The performance of this government, including the performance of both President Raisi himself and members of his cabinet and senior officials, has conveyed to the people the message that this government is working hard to provide them with services and solve their problems. And this has revived the hope and trust of many people to a large extent. The leader went on to describe the 31 provincial trips of President Raisi to underdeveloped and disadvantaged regions of the country in the past 11 months as a shining page in the book of the government, emphasizing the speed with which the government has reacted to natural disasters, the speed being very praiseworthy and another positive point for the government. He added, "This shows the government cares about the people and is doing whatever it can to help." Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader said, "The main point of referring to these successes isn't just to lavish praise upon the government. Rather, I hope you continue with your good work and continue along your chosen path." Referring to the positive interaction within the three branches of the Iranian government, Ayatollah Khamenei praised the fact that the government was combating negativity and said, "This government has made a point of bringing in new faces, introducing relatively young people into the cabinet, and this is a very valuable and wonderful thing which should be encouraged." He added, "Bringing young people into the government is like a breath of fresh air. It's a very good thing. Introducing new faces in the old managerial structure is a great idea. We all know that young people sometimes make mistakes, and we have seen this both in the government and in the parliament, the Majlis. Nonetheless, this is worth it. Despite the mistakes, it is good to have young people, to have fresh faces in both the government and the Majlis. God willing, a new generation of competent and astute managers will emerge." Referring to the importance of making use of our own domestic resources and not relying on foreigners, the leader warned, "It is very detrimental to the country if we say our problems will only be solved if we have relations with such and such a country, or if we wait for others to act, or for other countries to act. Rather, we should rely on our own abilities and our own resources. We mustn't rely on foreigners. Waiting for other people to act is bad for the country." Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei praised the 13th government for accepting responsibility and working hard. He said, "This is a very positive point." The leader went on to give a positive assessment of the government's foreign policy and cultural activities and said it is a good thing that some of the main slogans of the Islamic Revolution have today become more prominent and more noticeable. Slogans such as demanding justice, support for the weak and downtrodden, combating the arrogant powers, and shunning extravagant and opulent lifestyle. Offering further advice to cabinet ministers, the leader said, "My first advice to you is that you should thank God for giving you the opportunity to serve the people. And you should make every effort in a jihadi manner to solve the problems faced by ordinary people. You must strive so that your communication with God must not be broken or cut off. Prayers and supplications are very important. Despite the volume and pressures of work, you must strengthen your communication with the Almighty. Thank the Almighty that you have been given the opportunity to serve the people, and strive hard to solve their every problem." Turning to agriculture, the leader said food security is extremely important. Referring to the Ukraine war and the problem of rising food prices and the problem of food insecurity, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei reminded the audience of the need to become self-sufficient agriculturally in production of essential food items, such as wheat and rice. He added, "Food security is very important. It should be given top priority and must never be neglected." In further remarks, the leader said, "As far as industrial production is concerned, the banking sector has a duty of solving the problem of shortage of funds and shortage of investment in active manufacturing units. The Central Bank of Iran, the CBI, must ensure that all banks provide appropriate loans to manufacturing businesses and production units which need them." The leader also commented on construction of housing, construction of petrochemical refineries, the importance of transportation, both international and domestic, development of mines and minerals, and development of our maritime resources. In a further poignant remark, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "We must not allow the immense natural and human resources of this country to go to waste." He warned, "Work must not be left unfinished. Patience and resilience is needed to solve this country's problems. If you follow what I have said, then the 13th government will prove its worth. It will become known as an efficient, active government which is able to solve the problems faced by ordinary people. The Lord Most High will be satisfied, and so will the people, God willing, inshallah."
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network, and also in the presence of some of the students of Sevier International School. So we have here again Brother Hussein Ruhullah and Fawad Haider, and also Sayyid Ali Nasir and Habibullah Fasihzadeh here with you. So, salam, Fawad Haider, how are you?
Fine, sir, how are
fine?
You?
Fine, okay, alhamdulillah. And Hussein Ruhullah?
Fine, sir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. And Sayyid Ali Nasir, are you okay?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay. So, alhamdulillah, thanks to Allah Almighty that everyone is fine. We hope that you are fine as well, inshallah, and doing well.
في القرآن سعادتنا مدى الأزمان وفيه الخير للإنسان ويطوي عثرة المجروح
So, today, as we had promised you, we will go through the practical reading and tajweed rules of Quran Kareem. So, in this session, inshallah, whatever we had learned in level 3 of our Quranic sessions in tajweed, yes? So, we will go, inshallah, and read the verses of the Holy Quran and practice all those rules that we have learned so far. All right, Hussein Rahullah? Yeah?
Yes.
Was level 3, the tajweed rules, beneficial for you?
Yes.
Did you learn something?
Yes.
Okay, inshallah, we'll see today, okay? Fawad Haida, did you learn something?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Let's see what you have learned, okay? Can you practice, can you apply all those rules in the on the verses of the Holy Quran or no, okay? Or they were just something you learned, and our brothers and sisters also, something they just learned, okay? Like other things. But let's see. In practical, when it comes to practice, when it comes to apply the rules, okay, it is kind of challenging. But if you have learned the rules correctly and without any problem, and the rules are now like very clear, very much clear to you, so there will be no problem, okay, for you to practice to apply all those rules, okay? So all the tajweed rules, no problem. Ali Nasir, did you learn something during the classes?
Yes.
Of course you have. So, and it's not going to be difficult for you to apply the rules, right?
No.
Okay, inshallah. So,
inshallah.
We will go through the Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest surah of the Quran Kareem. So, some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah, we'll practice. We will recite and read, then apply the rules. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Surah Al-Baqarah starts from second page of the Quran Kareem, starts with Alif Lam Mim. Okay, ready? Let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ألف لام ميم
ألف لام ميم
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه
هدى للمتقين
هدى للمتقين
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
أولئك على هدى من ربهم
أولئك على هدى من ربهم
وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ
وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ
أحسن. Okay, inshallah, we'll go through the practical section of these five ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then after we finished, inshallah, we'll continue through the next ayahs, all right?
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
So the first ayah starts with
Alif Lam Mim.
Oh no, the first ayah starts Bismillah. With
Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is part of the ayah, okay? So always, all the surahs that start with Bismillah, except one surah, so that Bismillah is part of the surah, okay?
Yes.
And I actually studied, okay, one of the interpretations of the Quran Kareem. I think it was a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that says that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the crown of all surahs. You see, the crown is like, it shows the position, it shows the rank, or it shows the importance or the value of something. Yes, when a prince okay puts on a crown, okay, so it shows that he is an important person, okay, he's not like normal people, so he is something. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is like the crown of the other ayahs, the other surahs. So, don't forget Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we believe, Shia Muslims, okay, it is part of the ayah, okay?
Yes.
So, in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, so how many tajweed rules do we have to apply here? The first one. Bismillah. In the word?
Allah.
Allah. So what rule? The rule of?
Pronouncing heavily or lightly.
Pronouncing heavily or lightly the letter?
Allah.
Lam. The letter lam of the word Allah. Okay. So here, what rule is applied? Which one? Heavy lam or light lam?
Light.
Light one. Why?
Because there's a kasra.
Because we have a kasra before the word Allah. So whenever, the rule was this. Ali Nasir, that whenever we have a kasra before the word Allah,
we will pronounce lightly.
Whenever we have kasra, it is lightly pronounced, yes?
Yes.
Allah, like this.
Yes.
But whenever we have illa, whenever we have dhamma or fatha before the word Allah or Allahumma, we pronounce it as?
Heavily.
Allah. Heavily. Allah. The lam will be la. La. Okay? La. La. These two different pronunciations. So, this one, Bismillah, has a kasra before, yeah?
Yes.
Read it before Haider. Read it once. Bismillah. Nice one. Bismillah. Do not say Bismillah. No, okay. And Hussein Rahullah, how do you read this?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. Ali Nasir?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. Great. Bismillah. Then, here, Rahman. Okay. So, we have a Hamzatul Wasl there. In the word Allah as well, we skip it. Okay, the rules of Hamzatul Wasl as well, we study. How many cases do you think we had for Hamzatul Wasl? Two cases, okay? First one, we skip. There is a case, okay, that we skip Hamzatul Wasl. We do not read Hamzatul Wasl. Or sometimes we read Hamzatul Wasl. So when do we read Hamzatul Wasl and when should we skip Hamzatul Wasl? There were two rules.
When it comes, starting.
When it comes at the beginning of the word, and you start from that word, you start reading from that word. For example, if I start reading from Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, if I start from Ar-Rahman, okay, I have to pronounce that Hamzatul Wasl. Do you see that Hamzatul Wasl?
Yes.
An Aleph, the front of Sad, or the first part of Sad is on the top. That is called Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl is opposite to Hamzatul Qat'a. Hamzatul Qat'a, it is an Aleph, or sometimes a Waw, or sometimes a Hamza alone, or sometimes a Ya, but on the top of these three letters, we have a Hamza. That is Hamzatul Qata, it must be pronounced. Okay, it must be pronounced. Because it takes a harakat. Either on the top, like a fatha or a dhamma, or beneath. Okay, like a kasra. Also, it takes like tanwin fatha, tanwin kasra, tanwin dhamma. Or it takes sukun as well. But hamzatul wasl has never a harakat except when you pronounce it.
Does it make any difference like hamzatul qata is under a word or over a word?
No. Hamzatul qata, okay, it is. It has like many positions like this, okay? Either it comes on the top of alif or beneath alif. Or either it comes on the top of ya or beneath ya. Or on the top of waw, or sometimes alone, these many positions.
Does it make any difference?
No. It depends on the word. Sometimes you have waw, okay? On the top of waw, you have that hamza. It means that is hamza. Waw is just like a chair, okay? It's nothing. You don't have to read that waw, okay? You have to read that hamza. For example, mu'min. Mu'min, okay? There is no actual reason for this, okay? That's the way that Arabs, okay, write and the Arabs speak. All right? Fawad? Now, Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qatf, we talked about them in level 2 as well, okay? That if you skip Hamzatul Wasl, it doesn't have any harakat. So it's neither sakin, okay? You skip it. You do not read it. As if it's not there, okay? As if it's not there. Like, for example, you see, Bismillah. Bismillah. But if you read Hamzatul Wasl, you say this way. You read Bismillah. It's wrong. So if you join together, Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped. Bismillah. Okay?
Yes.
And all the words, I will repeat this, all the words in the Quran, in Arabic words, that start with Alif and Lam, that Hamzatul Wasl plus Lam Ta'rif. Whenever you want to start at that from that word, okay, you put a fatha on the top of Hamzatul Wasl and read it. Not a kasra, not a dhamma. What? A fatha. Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, As-Sama, Al-Jibal, Al-Ard, whatever. Alif, Lam. It's the rule for the words having Alif and Lam Ta'rif. Okay? It is the rule. For the rest of the words, we have different rules, okay? So, for the verbs, we have one special rule. For the nouns, we have another special rule, okay? We have different rules that we covered them. But inshallah, as we go on, I will tell you. We'll review them. Inshallah, in the next, after taking a break, okay, stay with us, brothers and sisters. We'll come back and help you again with the next sections of this surah. Let's recite a salawat, inshallah, and we will be back.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.